Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cody is next. Hi, Cody. You're on WGR. What's up?
I was in nursing school, and he's got his blanket on, and so he's messing around with a back hole about 2 weeks prior to this. So I'm like, you had a broken femur for 2 weeks. You never come to the hospital.
Oh.
Saying this, I open up his blanket, and he's...
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. Come on.
It's Mike Shope.
It was really embarrassing. It was funny.
No!
And the Bulldog.
That's funny. That's not funny. That's awful. Why did I bring this up?
On WGR.
What is happening?
Sports Radio 550.
You want to go first?
Actually, you kind of did it. Three.
You
don't have to.
This is all just, it's all just really familiar, and like the trade deadline is lurking out there, and there's really nothing that we have reason to expect that's significant that's going to happen. I don't even know. I'm not sure how significantly this GM wants to attack his roster when the time is right in the summer. Honestly, the way he's talking today, I mean, you got real hot in the 4 o'clock hour when we're talking to Paul about the notion of them accomplishing something by being in these games in the third period. And not only is it embarrassing, I think, to cite that as some sign of progress, it's not even correct.
Right.
Like, that really stands out to me, and it's really frustrating. Like, when I first got around to hearing that and reading that, you know, just think about these games recently. Last night, the Jersey game, the Ranger game, the Blackhawks game. Like, these are not games. Like, you're within one for a while. And then you lose, and it's not even close. So I'm struggling to really get, you know, what kind of message he's going for here. And how significantly, you know, I asked Paul, like, do you think he knows he's got, like, lifting to do this summer? And Paul said he should be fired if he doesn't think so. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm not so sure. I'm not telling you he's about to be fired because he might not agree with that. But I don't know. I mean, he sounds an awful lot to me like this is all just a part of the plan. And I didn't think – he did say he was surprised or maybe wasn't expecting to be first in the league in November.
I agree with him on that.
Same here. So, like, I didn't need him to react to that or overreact to that and do something urgent that maybe would have been foolish in the short term just to try to make the playoffs this year just to, like, hang a banner. You know, yay, we made it. But – I don't know. I'm a little worried that maybe he thinks this team is doing better than we think it is.
Well, all year we've been talking about, because of that winning streak, how will this year be judged? And we have a somewhat of a collapse here now. That's putting it maybe nicely. And so, is it a good year? Can it be called a good year because of how it compares with last year? Or is it a bad year because of the fact that you're still going to miss the playoffs, it seems, you know, likely. And who knows where they end up. If they end up with 90 points and miss the playoffs, that's pretty good from here. They're now going to play good teams. They've been playing some bad teams. Now they're going to play some good teams. If they get to 90 points, I mean, that's going to be good from here. It won't be the playoffs, but just make it that much harder to say it isn't a good year when it's all said and done. That, you know, still has to play out. But what really bothered me to think about last hour, that point about being in games and how they look when they're playing well. Some of the stuff Botterill said today, It just seems like they're at the very lowest possible professional sports standard. And I have to acknowledge the possibility that how he feels is different than mm-hmm. how he's talking. Mm-hmm. But you can only know what you know. And what he said was that, you know, when you see how we play when we're good, what is that to say? I mean, it's just Monday was 8 years of Pegula. And what's his famous quote? The reason for existence is to win the Stanley Cup. He said it, Stanley Cups.
Right.
Like no one else says it. Stanley Cups. Like Reese Cups. Stanley Cups.
Right.
Not the Stanley Cup.
The
way everyone else says it.
It always stood out to me that his inflection was interesting, yes.
And it just does not compute. I mean, I can't have the Sabres being impressed with themselves on any level. You're lucky to have Dahlin at all. Like that. What's your plan then without him? I mean, you're lucky to have him. I'm not criticizing them for getting him, but I just cannot accept any idea that they are impressed with themselves, because it's not even a big accomplishment to make the playoffs in hockey. It's really not. I mean, half the teams do. More than half the teams do. It's always been like that. What is it to make the playoffs in hockey? It should be like the minimum standard. This is going to be 8 years unless there's a miracle coming. And just like, and again, I'll say, I want to compare them to 2 years ago. And this is a Bills, this is like the Bills a little bit. If you're judging this and trying to evaluate this, it has to go against their predecessors. Decisions they made after, the Sabres made after Dan Bylsma and Tim Murray were fired. That's what has happened since. Before that, what were they? They were a 78-point team when those guys got fired. And then they went to 62, I think it was. And now whatever this is, it's probably still be more than 78. But if I got to hear this, again, it's like I'm just thinking about the Bills. If I got to hear about progress compared to last year, if they're 20 or 25 points better, well, you had 2 years to get there, and you're 2 or 7 points better in that case, or whatever it is. You know, a few points better. That's what I want to do. 2 years of the roster. How long do you get? Previous people have gotten 2 years. So you don't get too much longer than that. I don't know. I just admit that I'm just exhausted.
Yep.
I'm exhausted by having to explain every one of these failures of theirs in like a new way every so often, because they just never stop coming. They never stop coming. I got an arena survey today as a season ticket holder. I got an arena survey. So I started down that road. I'm like, okay, I'll take this survey. I want you to know my opinion. And I answered some questions. And then it was just question after question after question about what a renovated arena would be for you, and what you would want from a renovated arena, what you would pay to sit on the glass in a renovated arena, and how you would you rather have a 1% increase over a 7-year lease or a 7% increase over a 1-year lease, whatever. Like I just wanted to throw something.
I did that with the Bills.
I just closed it.
I did that survey when they issued one of those on the Bills, and they did that.
I don't even want to talk about a renovated arena. I just, okay, that's it.
Well,
you can tell how I feel.
A couple other points that worth making before we get some reaction here from the audience. I think my biggest takeaway from what Bottrell said, at least in support of Housley, if not this notion of progress and you know, feeling good about the path they're on, I think it's mostly today what I hear the comments, I read the comments, it all circles back to supporting Housley. And I think it's possible that, maybe even likely, that Bottrell is of a mind to make sure that his team, his players, are aware of his opinion of his coach, and that nothing's changing now, and he may want them to at least think for now that it's not changing in the offseason. In other words, dig in. All right? You're signed for 8 years. Jack, it's year one of your $10 million a year contract. Guess what? This is your coach. Figure it out. Because knowing what happened here before he walked in the door, Bottrell, and how Bylsma, you know, lost this group pretty early on, I would understand him wanting to be kind of a hard ass about that. And I would respect that even. Because I don't think I want to have a team where whenever they feel like the coach is, you know, being hard on them or difficult on them, they're just going to tune them out and get them fired because it worked once. So I think there's a method to that that makes sense to me, and I support it, even if it's not 100% true. And by that I just mean, for now, they're still in a race. I know we're all, you know, disenchanted, and their odds are not very good of making up this 6-point gap. But Botro might still look at it like, I've got 23 games to go here, and these guys need to know this guy's going to be around a while.
Did he say that once? Did he make one allusion to their place in the standings today?
I don't think so.
Because that's what you should do. If you want to represent that this year matters, then you do that. Like, we got a game tomorrow. That's it.
Yeah,
we're not making a coaching change. We got a game tomorrow. We got to win.
I've not heard or read that today from him.
He's talking about last year. He's talking about, you know, generalities and these modest improvements that don't even matter. They don't even matter. If you're this team, it just doesn't matter what you did compared to last year. Just like it didn't matter, as it turns out, what 3 years ago looked like compared to 4 years ago. Because it ended up, you know, dead by the side of the road. So I want a standard here. I don't even want him thinking about that. He said it was an accomplishment to be first in the league in November. That's not an accomplishment. Good teams don't care about that. Nobody even notices that if they're good. They don't even care. This means nothing. What does Bruce Boudreaux say if somebody tells him that we're first in the league in November? He's like, get out of here. Sorry.
Totally.
Why is he even thinking about that? Well, in that case, in fairness, in that case, he was asked about that. And he said, well, I didn't expect to be first in the league, so right. You know, we were pleased about that, whatever he said. You know, that's right. But it's not an accomplishment. It's just a race. The jockey on the horse in the first quarter of the Kentucky Derby isn't celebrating. He's like, well, we did it. You did nothing. The race is the whole thing. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm just so tired. Every year. This year is progress because we cared at all. It's the NHL. It's like the only city in the country that talks about the NHL is this city. And it's like progress to care about it in February. February, not March or April. It's just, what is that? How bad is that? Win Stanley Cups. What an embarrassment. How can you sound like this if your objective is to win Stanley Cups? Come on. Chris is on WGR. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I'd like to ask you guys a hypothetical situation on what you think would happen if these press conferences that are fed to the Buffalo fans would go over the air in successful hockey towns like maybe Boston, Washington, or Montreal of old. I mean, I think Montreal would be set ablaze on fire. It's just the product they put out. I've never heard, and this goes for the Bills too, I've never seen two organizations talk about professional sports being a developmental league. They talk like this is minor league hockey. This is the NHL. Your prices are outrageous. It's $12 a beer, and they tell you their product stinks, and it's going to stink, and they still want you to show up. Who in their right mind would admit that?
It is kind of true.
Wins at this level.
It is true enough. This point is true enough. Thank you. I mean, you know, they're not saying five sentences about the Bruins or the Capitals in Boston or Washington, but in
Montreal.
In Montreal.
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, it really doesn't matter. What matters is here. There should be a standard here. There just should be. Who's going to set it? We run into, I don't want any credit for it, but we run into, like, you guys are always so critical. Somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to hold the bar up. Because these guys, both teams are like this. Both of these teams took average-ish teams. The Sabres had 78 points. It's not, like, it's 30 points better than last place in the league that year, by the way, 2 years ago. But it's not good. I'm not saying it's good. It's just like, you know, it was a number. And the Bills, before Sean McDermott, were like, you know, what are they, 7-9, right? Yeah. Like, they've just always 7-9. So you have, two teams that are just below the middle and or close to it, and then they get new people to come in and run it, and for 2 years, both of them talk like it's just going to take forever. And we are, you know, we cannot be judged yet because it's a process or because of whatever. Like, Ryan O'Reilly had to go. He just had to go. You can't have a guy like that around. Okay. It's going to take longer. I'm just going to trade him for a kid and draft picks. It's going to, and veterans I don't want. It's going to take longer. I mean, that guy, there's a lot of truth in that guy's point. I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's not the minor leagues. We are not the minor leagues. We need to act like it. They need to act like it. We do. We talk about them like they are the major leagues because they are. Oh, yeah, you know, 2 years. Finally, we got the salary cap to where we want. Finally, we can do this now. Oh, okay. Thanks. Great. You traded good players because you had to. So now you're here at the Bills, and now, like, now it can start to matter? If you tell me next year that Josh Allen is young one time in year three, when year one was set up to get him, it was like a negative year in your history to set up. You took a playoff team down because you had to have a rookie. And then if next year he's young one time.
I don't really have a move here. I don't feel like I have a move here. I don't know if I want to relitigate something or like what I really want to add.
Is Jack Eichel still young?
I mean, it's year four.
Right. I mean, he's not really young. Like these are his years.
You burned through his rookie deal.
Yep.
Like that just happened. You were never close to being any good any of the years of his rookie deal. And now here you are.
And I would say to that, there wasn't a lack of trying in that. They went for it. O'Reilly was acquired.
Yeah.
Evander Kane was acquired. Robin Leonard, a first-round pick, was acquired. They went for it. Then I couldn't and wouldn't have criticized them for, like, too low of a bar. It's going to take forever. They were not like that. I think that that's to their credit. I don't want to rewrite history because they didn't make it. Then they were doing things to push because they looked at it like we are in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. Like, this, let's go. We can afford these guys, and we can do it. And for whatever reason, it blew up. And so now I think that criticism is valid. It might be valid to say, I mean, what are these compliments from the GM here? We're in games. We're in games.
Yeah, I did not need to hear that today.
We're in a position where we've been in games. Are you kidding? Like, what were you expecting? Are you impressed? Like, what were you expecting? To lose 5-0 every night? Like, in games, it's hockey. Ottawa's in games.
We've put ourselves in a spot to win games in the third period. We just haven't had results.
Yeah.
They have collapsed in a number of games in the third period. Last night among them. I mean, they just fell apart. The Ranger game fell apart. The Blackhawks game fell apart. That's not progress. That's not learning how to go through it. Like, that's falling apart. It's what it is. There's no way to cut that.
It sounds like in this moment in time in Buffalo sports with the Bills and the Sabres, it sounds like progress internally is defined as we're going to take a mediocre team and then gut it and then improve it a notch and then hold a flag up. Because Botterill is explicitly saying, making a comparison to last season. That was his team last season. And the Bills did the very same thing when this season ended. Well, really, we couldn't really say it, but, you know, we had very modest expectations here. You traded good players. You dumped your quarterback. You did that purposely. You planned that. It was calculated. You don't get credit for that. You don't get credit for going from whatever you thought that team was 2 years ago to 6-10 and like thinking that it's not even a better record at all. It's worse. You don't get credit for that. You give yourself credit for that. You were to hear about it from me. Like that is just the worst. It's just the worst. I don't like how that sounded. Like somehow I'm just going to. I don't like how that sounded. But I mean, somebody's got to say it. I think. Okay. Well, you know, we talk and talk and talk, and emotions are high, and you know, there's a goal or two you want to have, you'd like to have back. But man, it's so frustrating. The one thing you do not want to hear from these people right now is how well they're doing. It's not even significant to make the playoffs and lose. That's not even good. And we're treating that like that's the championship. The update is ahead. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Got a giveaway right now for you. A pair of tickets to go check out WWE's Live Road to WrestleMania. This event is Sunday, March 24th at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of this prize is $50. General contest rules apply. We'll take callers 5 and 6. Two pair up for grabs right now. 644-9878.
Oh, it's my parents' wedding song.
Excellent.
People think of this as a newer song, but not. It's a remake. It's a cover. The Carpenters had the original. I don't know. I might be done today. I might just be totally done. Play me back. I don't know. The Carpenters. Salad draft. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's let fans talk. That's better anyway. John is with us. Hello, John.
Hey, how you guys doing? I was in the car listening to you guys talking about this debacle, for lack of a better word. And it just got me thinking of how there's such a lack of passion on this team. It drives me insane. I can't, you know, I shoot around a game of basketball or a game of tennis or something, and God almighty, I hate losing. It seems these guys are okay with it. I don't understand how they're not, you know, trying to take somebody's head off or you know, throw a big hit every game to kind of stir things up a bit. I mean, one of my favorite seasons in Sabres history, was a team that didn't even make the playoffs, and that was 96. You know, they played their asses off, and, you know, you came to Buffalo, you were going to be in for a war.
I like this to a point. I mean, I won't argue with you today about this. I mean, of course, there are huge differences in the game. You wonder if the losing takes its toll, but it shouldn't be fatal. You know, it shouldn't be fatal. These guys are better than that. And I think you can get, you know, you can get frustrated. Anybody can get frustrated.
Yeah, I definitely am.
And it makes it harder to do your best when you're frustrated, but I just refuse to believe that there's some fatal condition with the Sabres that means they can never win.
I definitely don't think that's the case, but I just found it so interesting that on Monday, I certainly got pretty upset about this, you know, this old school, you know, that they don't try, there's no passion, they don't care, they pushed around, that sort of thinking. The Sabres aren't tough enough, that's their problem, basically. Like that call came through Monday. And I'm fighting that pretty regularly now because the league has just changed so much. And we ended up in a conversation about effort and about passion and like how often do you watch the Sabres play and feel like that's their problem. And I answered, honestly, very rarely do I watch a game thinking that. And last night, I mean, I didn't turn the game on in a bad mood. I came home like I usually come home and like they're playing. Like, okay, like I don't want to represent it on the air because I don't want to be embarrassed. But I'm still really hoping they win a few in a row and get in the race again. Because, like, I love them. Like, I devote a lot of my free time to watching them play hockey. And then my job requires me to sit here and talk about it. I'd like it to be fun again. That's what, so, like, I'm motivated. I'm really motivated to like want them to do well. You know, I can't control it, but like my mindset is, come on, just come on, give me something. You know, and I sat down last night, and that first period was disgusting to me to watch. Like, there was just nothing happening. And you've got a team that's supposed to be clinging for their lives, and they got another game, and like, let's go, let's turn it around, and no. Eventually, it got a little hot. Dahlin, you know, people want hits. Dahlin looked like he was looking for trouble almost all night last night. He took a couple of runs at guys. He had Florida kind of hot a couple different times because of what he was doing on the ice.
Don't you hate losing to Florida? Like, you also have in the back of your mind that there are more people maybe watching Pinochle in South Florida than there are at that game.
Right.
And like, you're going, I care about this. I'm embarrassed
every
to care
time
about this.
You turn on a game when the Sabres are playing there, I wonder how in the world a franchise survives in that league there and how the league survives. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So like, yeah, of course, there's always that with that with them. But last night, after just sort of fighting this notion that they're passionless, I was sitting there thinking, this is, what are you doing? Are you trying to get your coach fired? What is happening here? I just happened to catch the highlight of Huberdeau's, I think it's his second goal in the third period, where they just circle around for a little bit, mostly unchallenged, and then he just curls off the wall and cuts through three Sabres, Skinner, Dahlin, and Pominville. And just goes to the net and ends up with a chance all alone on the goalie. In the zone with all the Sabres in the zone. Like, they're all there. And Jonathan Huberdeau, not Wayne Gretzky. He's a nice player. He can skate. He's talented.
He's a guy you're watching for.
Yeah.
He's a guy you'd
watch. He walks off the wall like he's playing pickup and you can't hit. Or slash, because, you know, you're playing pickup and Mark Poloncarz has the puck. You're thinking, how much of a jackass am I if I slash Mark Poloncarz? Right? So, like, okay, right? No, this is the NHL, and Huberdeau he didn't even have to put an arm out to fend anyone off. He just skated right from the wall, through the circle, into the slot, alone on Ullmark, who has to be thinking, what the F is happening? We've got five guys in the zone. How is this cat all alone in front of me? And, you know, Deke and a goal. And what is that? What is that? That's Skinner and Dahlin and Pominville are the three. And they're just all around him. And he just, I'm just going to go through there. No problem. Like, I'm not suggesting one of those guys is, you know, necessarily capable of, like, taking his head off with a hit or something. But get up, get in his way, get a stick on him. I don't know, play some defense, do something. And you want evidence of a team that's not dug in, of a team that looks like they're not applying themselves? Watch that highlight. I mean, it's pathetic. You should not ever be able to walk. Again, you know, breakdowns happen on the rush, some bad pinch, whatever. Like, you know, I almost said a bad word. It happens. This is just in the zone. Everyone's on the scene. Everyone is presumably where they should be. And he just, I'm going.
Sounds like Charlie Coyle has been traded. We don't know where yet.
Okay.
Here is Paul next. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, listen, I want to say thanks for flipping out at 4 o'clock or 4:30, Mike, because that needs to be heard. And that's what bothers me the most about this is those people are not listening. They're not sitting at home right now listening to people complain about these teams. They don't care. And I honestly don't think they care. Now, you said they sent a questionnaire to ask about arena renovations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Really, they'll listen to the fans when they have that to say, but when it comes to their teams and how crappy they are, they don't care.
I won't say that, Paul. I don't think it's that they don't care. I really don't. I think they. Who are we talking about? Kim and Terry? Like, who are we talking about? Of course the coaches and GM care. I mean, they care. That's their job. They don't not care. I just don't think they know ownership. I don't think they know. And there are lots of things you can say and have that have been said. You can have yours and I have mine. And somebody found a tweet from me last night that goes back to when Bylsma and Murray were fired. And I tweeted something like, is this going to be the moment where we sort of get with the times? And it wasn't. I don't say that disparagingly toward Botterill, but he's a former player. And I think your biases can overcome you. I think it's really hard to deny them. I think that goes for ex-players who coach teams and run teams in all sports. Some of them are very successful. But I just have never had the first clue that the Buffalo teams are just like ready to move forward. They just think they don't need to, I guess. And that's a pretty big generalization or whatever it is. But I was reminded of that last night. Somebody found that. I'm like, yeah, well, here we are again. And we're talking about this coach now. And I don't know. I do not represent that the Pegulas don't care about their results. But there's at least one, I think, you know, just relatively speaking, there's at least one area where they just have not seen the light. And that is evidenced by, again, relatively speaking, the people who they're hiring to run their teams. So it can work. It just hasn't. What can you tell me? What are you going to tell me? Like, you have to have, if you have some success here with either team, like real success, then I'll stand down. I mean, I would have been willing to say that my whole career. Just, you know, if you're going to win, then whatever you're doing was right. Whatever you're doing is working. But we just have never had that since what? What counts as like real winning? Drury and Briere. 2007. That was it. For either team, that's the last time I would say like you had something really good. You have a team that makes the first round. Well, so what? I mean, that so what?
Right, the 2010 team won the division, but they got bounced in six games against the Bruins. So yeah, winning rounds, winning, being a threat to win the whole thing.
Right, you're a real contender in your sport.
6-7 is that's it.
The Bills have not been that since the 1990s. The Sabres were that in 06-07. Before that, the 1990s. 6-7 are a blip. In the 20 years of both teams, 6-7 are a blip. Otherwise, it's the same. Yeah. The whole 20 years for both teams are the same. They're just there.
Not more clarity at this point on what Mike mentioned about Charlie Coyle, but I'll read you the tweet from Michael Russo, who covers the Wild, I believe, with The Athletic now. Being told by multiple sources, Charlie Coyle has been told he has been traded, but not to where yet. Was told to knock it on his plane, and his equipment has been taken off. So
that's a fun few minutes for a guy.
Right?
Being traded and I don't know where.
Right.
What you're on your phone, right? Fan trying to figure it out.
Refreshing.
I think I can rule out one team, because if he had been being traded to the Rangers, who they play tomorrow, he probably stays on the flight. So we're down to 30 or 29.
If it's the Islanders, does he fly with them to New York?
Right.
And just leave then when they land?
Maybe we could rule out the Tri-State, Islanders and Devils.
Tri-State,
and the Rangers.
Philly, how far does that extend?
Boston. Great question. DC, is that in the...
I don't know. No, it's too far. DC is too far. All right, we'll take a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
We have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away right now to go check out Breaking Benjamin Sunday, August 4th. At Darien Lake Amphitheater, minimum value of this prize is $60, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply.
This is they, I assume? Play a different...
Yep.
Joe wouldn't play Hart.
No, that'd be dumb.
If you were giving away tickets to Breaking Benjamin.
These tickets aren't even on sale yet, so you can win these before you can buy them. They go on sale Friday, 10 a.m., livenation.com. Two pair, 644-9878, callers 5 and 6.
Here's Phil with us. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, Phil. Thanks for calling.
You know, first of all, I just want to say I feel bad for you guys that got to cover these terrible teams.
It's okay.
It feels like Groundhog Day with these teams. it's just year after year after year. It's so depressing.
It kind of feels like it's all I ever do when I'm talking about sports is what today has been on the air.
And one other thing, guys, when they were bad in the 70s and 80s, nobody went to the Bills games. I just don't understand. They get these sellouts. We should look like Florida with our garbage hockey team at the crowds they get.
Yeah, well, I don't thank you, Phil, but I don't mind that about us. I like that about us. I like that we care. I think that's a good thing. I don't think it. I don't really feel vindictive about this, and I really don't think it would work anyway if you wanted to get a result. That argument's been made many times. I think it's a pretty bad argument. It's just depressing. You know, I mean, now we got a lot of people calling up using words like garbage and everything, and I don't know. I wouldn't want to say that, but you got a real life thing right now that's just been years in the making, where you've got mostly young guys. I mean, all hockey players are young. You've got a young team trying to get good and struggling to do that. And I represent Bulldog too, some portion of the fan base that has just, like I said, it just seems like we're just always losing and missing the playoffs and going nowhere and starting over. And like, are you some people can. Are you supposed to put that on a shelf and just wake up the next day and be like, let's win, you know, like, let's go to the game. Some people are like that. It's not me, and it's especially not me working here, because you're just in it, you know, deeply in it.
Yeah.
So, hence, you get to the point where it's just, you're exasperated. And that is honestly how I feel. Like, I don't know that it sounds good, but I'm just exasperated. I don't want to take a survey about whether you should have better Wi-Fi at the arena. I just want, just not now. You know, like, you know this about your spouse, and they know it about you.
Right.
When there's times when you want to ask the certain questions, right. you have to be smart about that. Like, just get out of here with, would I pay a 7% increase to sit on the glass? I mean, just, ugh, it's just gross. Like, I just don't want to talk about that. I got the thing that really set me off today is the GM talking about how they're in games. You know who's not in games? Ohio playing against UB. That is when you are not in the game. Pretty much every NHL game, both teams are in. Once in a while, but both teams are in most games. That is not a box to check. Last year, the pre-Eichel Sabres were, remember all the Anders Nielsen games? And you're like, what the hell is this? They're getting outshot 50-2, and it's 1-1. I mean, they were in the game. It's tied. Like, they were in games all year. It drove us crazy. But they were in them. They just lost. The standard has to be winning. Nothing else. Nothing else. We were good in November. Nope. We are close to winning more. Nope. If you watch us when we're good, you can see how we're aggressive and we're... Nope, not a word. I just can't take another word of this. These compliments they pay themselves for being whatever this is. I just can't. Your owner said Stanley Cups are the mission. It's embarrassing now. It's a punchline now. It's 8 years. It's a punchline. A mandate needs to be, no one is giving each other credit for things like being good in the standings, you know, before Thanksgiving. That is not something we are about. But maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it is what they're about. Why would they say it if they weren't thinking it? Why would he say it if he wasn't thinking it? Like, it is what they're about. Until that changes, it is what they're about. Whether I like it or not, it is. 803-0550, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.